Let's take a look on page 62, in the right column, second paragraph. So the Torah describes Avram Avinu as sitting at the opening of his tent. And he was sitting, literally it means he is sitting, it's a present tense, at the opening of his tent. And we know he was there waiting for guests. Shitzoricha adam leida, a person must know, af ki yesh v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach mimaseh v'asar v'dan, even though God has nachas, enjoyment, sense of pleasure, so to speak, from the deeds and the actions of human beings, of flesh and blood, v'chol ha'olamos teluyin v'hisarus ma'asim tovim v'hatachtonim, and all worlds, meaning all physical and spiritual reality, are dependent upon the awakening and inspiration that they receive from the good deeds of those who inhabit the lower worlds, meaning ourselves, human beings. So all things are dependent upon our choices and our functions, our actions. Shal yideza miskale hashkachoso yisporach, because through what we do, God then responds by revealing his presence and his guidance of the world based on our actions. So even though this is all true, you know, that our behavior has that much impact on the world and on reality, nonetheless, im kol zeh hu bepesach, we must know that we're just standing at the opening, just at the entrance. V'hainu sh'Hashem yisborach osa kein, that it was God who, and is God, who allows this to occur. Lihios nidle devorim elyon and b'maase ha-mitzvah, that it was God who willed it to be that great and lofty spiritual matters are dependent on an act of a simple mitzvah. Right? That just one simple mitzvah can bring about so much blessing into the world. And you do one act that apparently seems to be small, but it creates such a strong consequence. Remember that it was God who implemented this. We don't want to get overwhelmed with our own abilities, right? Hashem allows this to happen, and at any moment could choose for it to be otherwise. Shal yidei ha-maaseh gashmi, that God willed it to be that through a physical act, miftach hamshacha, there is an opening created to extend forth the hamshacha, to bring forth b'ma shelamala, something from above. So we open it up. Here we are in the physical world, it's like we're standing at the opening of a, let's say, a window. We open it up and then the blessing of God comes in. Our task is to create the Pesach. And that, he says, is the metaphor of v'hu yoshev Pesach ha'ohal, that Avram Avinu stood at the opening of the tent. He had an awareness of where he stood in reality. He had to open the doors, had to open the gates, and God would follow with his blessing. Umisham yoser adei lav yisporach mamish. And from there, from this seemingly small position that we have, being able to bring forth divine blessing, this can extend all the way up to God. We have the ability, of course, to relate to God. Avoluha Ada, however, Hajash, page 62. Rak Pesach Kuhuda Shomacha. Now he concentrates on a famous statement from the Chachamim. That Chachamim say, what our job is to do is to open up an opening which is simply as big as the point of a needle. And we open up that opening, then God will respond with an opening as large as a sanctuary. We're trying to make that little breakthrough, a breakthrough, an opening of a needle, just to pierce and create a small opening. That's the Pesach that we're attempting. Afshahu kechom hayom, v'hu b'chinas Abraham, ahava, shahu bitzol ba'achdus gamur. Even though that we may do this in a way, now he's continuing in the Pesach, where was Avraham sitting at the, when was he sitting at the entrance to the tent? Kechom hayom, in the heat of the day. Now this could mean many things in addition to its simple meaning that it was hot, right? And Kacham Hayom is also addressing the heat of doing something with great love for God, like to be on fire with love for God. So even though one may resemble Avraham Avinu in that they can do a mitzvah with great passion and heat and love for God and people, Ahava, Shehu Bitul Ba'achdus Garmer, to be entirely, you might say, subordinated to God's oneness, nullified in God's oneness in the positive sense. In Kol Zeh, nonetheless, we can't get carried away with ourselves. Zecher, remember, ki hu rak basar v'dam. We must remember that we are flesh and blood. B'pesach ha'ohel. And we have this unique position of standing at the entrance, at the opening, the window. We have this bracha. It's God who stood us there, and we're just opening up small openings, and as a result of that, God blesses us with infinite brachas from above. Beautiful mind.
Can we do something to this?
Yeah.
I thought we did something like this before.
We've had similar thoughts on the concept of a Pesach, you know, what it means to stand at the opening of one level to the next, or an opening in one's life, you know, transition. Here this is somewhat specific and maybe unique, that this concept of positioning ourselves there with the knowledge that God has placed us there. Because he's talking about really the great power a human being has to affect reality and how the reality is dependent on our choice. But always to have in mind that it's God who set this up. That's his focus here, that consciousness. And as I said, not to be too carried away, you know, with our own abilities.
I guess every time I see a mimer that says Pesach and opening, it also reminds me of, there's another one where he's talking about Kayan and I forget how the Hebrew goes, but the sin crouches at the door.
Yes.
Every opening.
Pesach got to his probates, right.
Yeah.
There's a vulnerability at the opening too.
But if, you know, I guess if you got the fire, doing a mitzvah or something at that opening, then got to do the bracha instead of the bearer of the body.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay. Yes, Ted.
I know that we don't see the results of here on.
Right.
You know, they're not obvious to us,
right.
So it would. I mean, it kind of makes sense that just knowing that they have such repercussions could make us feel powerful. But on the other hand, not being able to see the results of the mitzvahs can also be somewhat discouraging, I think, by the same token.
Maybe that's a good way to look at, you know, what he's saying here, is that if we must always maintain this awareness that this is from God, and if we were to see all these things, we could even get more carried away with our own abilities. And the fact that so much of it is concealed from us, at least in this world, that helps us, you know, to remember our place, you know, and who we are. And so it could be discouraging. You're right, you know, where's the fruit of my labors? Where is all the blessings? But if we perhaps put it in this place, you know, strategically, take that experience and say, well, what can I do with that to make it positive? Well, maybe I could use it to help me with this awareness that my position at the opening comes from God, and I'm a human being, and this is a God-given thing, and I'm limited in this way too. Maybe we could channel it there, and maybe take away the discouragement and use it to create a sense of humility, you know, in that awareness. Okay, let's take a look at, I wanted to see something about the Akeda. Yeah. Let's take a look on the next page, on 63. We'll take a look at two of them. right column also, second paragraph, and we'll go into the third paragraph after that. So the first one starts with the Inyan HaAkedah. In respect to the Akedah, which was Hashem's command to Avraham to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, Kachna, offer, Hashem says, please take your child Yitzchak and bring him as an Ola, sacrifice, one of the most challenging parts of the Torah. Nire, ki me'achar shehivticho b'Yitzchak yikorei l'cho zera. After God promised to Avraham that it was through Yitzchak that his seed would be called. In other words, Avraham may have many children, but the children that are considered the children of Abraham in the sense that they're Jewish people, that comes specifically through Yitzchak, b'Yitzchak. Ne'amar lo b'lashon bakasha. So therefore, when Hashem spoke to Avraham here, he spoke to him with the word na, which means God is making a request. He could have just said, kach, take your son. But he said, kach na, which is a gentler way of saying it. Please. It's a bakasha. Pirish meaning, shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimenu. This is really a powerful thought he says there. God was asking something of Avraham now. God himself was asking something from Avraham. Sheyimcho lo hamatana. God wanted him to be mochel, to forego the gift of his son, Yitzchak. Yes, I know I promised your children will come through him. I'm asking you now to be mochel, to forego this gift. That's the na. Please. V'sheyalehu la'ola. And lift him up as a sacrifice to me. V'zeh shevach ha'gadol b'nisayon hazeh, shelo ne'amar lo b'loshon sivui, Rakim Chafetz B'davar Zeh. He says this even increases Avraham's stature because God didn't say to him, you must do this. He said, would you please do this? And that changes it quite a bit. That's quite a different perspective. It's a chiddush to me. That's a new concept. Kaches Yitzchak is that there's no choice. Kachna, would you please forego the gift of your son and all possible children that will come after him and offer him up as an Ola.
Could you turn that around, Tim? Yeah? I mean, Avraham's saying, you know, he's not forcing you to do it. You know, it's your son. How could you do this? He was just asking you in a nice way.
Right.
Could you come back? And just like he said Saddam was going to be destroyed and you argued on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why didn't he argue on this particular one?
That's yeah, especially question. With right. the
Nada. Yeah. Right. Now, seemingly, Avraham understood that there was no place for an argument here, but the question is why?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have an answer for you. I don't know why Avraham did not, in this circumstance, find it fitting to engage Hashem in dialogue here. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Well, how was it presented with Sodom? I mean, Hashem just said, I'm going to do this?
I believe so, right? And then Avraham said to him, you know, the various numbers of people that perhaps would save the city. Maybe we should look into that language there
mm-hmm.
and compare it to the language here and why Avraham saw an opening there and didn't see an opening here yet. That would be a good study to undertake. But offhand, I couldn't comment. I'm not that familiar with it. I have to look at it.
At the beginning, it says, how could I not... God says, in effect, how could I not...
Not reveal it to him, right.
To the devil of the
right.
generation.
Right, how could I not let him know what I'm doing?
Right. So that's already an opening. I mean, God just said, please, here.
Right.
I don't know if not is enough of an opening, or is giving him the compliment of saying, you've got a door.
One way of sort of thinking about this, or drashing about it, I think, is the extraordinary... we said Avraham is one of the people whom the Torah names twice. Avraham. And they say about this that he was above, as his image was above, it was like that below. And you see by Sodom, so he was taking sort of his role as a world leader, so to speak, or as the Tzaddik Ador.
Mm-hmm.
But this is such a private act.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about the Akedah is completely private.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be L'chazer, it'll be your seed,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And everything. Mm-hmm. So that the idea of him having this same quality of integrity in private, I think is an astounding example for the whole story of the Akedah.
That's very, very, very good thought. Okay. Va'avram Avinu l'Avishalom, and Avraham Avinu, ba'ahavaso l'kayim ratzon ha'makom, in his great love for God and to fulfill God's will in this, halach b'simcha l'shachato, he went in a state of joy, the simcha of doing God's will, to offer his son. U'kasiv yechidcha, Hashem says to him, bring up your son es yechidcha, your only son. He calls Yitzchak his only son. Shabavare haya yachol la'amin ki yitain lo ben achir. Kemosha nosan lo ze le'esig nosa. It's because Abraham could have rationalized and said, well, God will give me another son. I'm going to offer up this son, and Hashem has in mind to give me another. Just like he gave him Yitzchak when he was 100 years old. So he could have given him another son too. It's not without of God, certainly not outside of God's capability. But he said, Yechidcha, offer your only son. This is it. Aval omar lo ki ein lo od ben. He was telling him, you have no other child. Rak Yitzchak, this is your son, meaning the one who everything will be actualized through. Vishaya alehu la ola, and offer him up as an ola. Ba'ofen shenosein es kol zera Yisrael ba'kedazu. We've seen this idea. Avram Avinu was offering the entire Jewish people up on the Mizbeach now, not just his son. Because Yitzchak was the person through which Klal Yisrael would become. Ba'kol zeh kibel olav b'simcha, and Avraham accepted this in simcha, in a state of joy. So powerful, it's just so much to say about the Akedah. You know, just every year you come to it and all the same questions arise, even though you deal with them before, you know, they all seem to present themselves.
Why do we say it every day?
To be ma'orei the zechus of the Akedah, mm-hmm. to awaken its merit, which we're always, you know, always given benefit from, the zechus of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu from the Akedah. And also the concept of Mesiras Nefesh, you know, that we're bringing to mind that somebody offered their life and his son's life to God, the greatest sacrifice possible.
Do we have to say it in the morning?
It's not obligatory. It's not obligatory to say it either way. It's it's customary to say it right after breakfast, but it's not obligatory. And if you do follow that minhag, it would be said in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that perhaps follows the fact that that's when it occurs, because Abraham was zealous to do the mitzvah, and he did it quickly. Maybe that brings that to mind at the beginning of our day, too.
Perhaps we say it every day because there's so many levels that this story can be taken mm-hmm. to.
And each day there's a new story, perhaps, for us.
Mm-hmm. A new question.
I saw an interesting thing in the Shulam, in the Shulam Kodesh, who discusses it from the other side and brings down Midrashim of Avraham pleading to Hashem for this not to happen. Uh-huh. And when he says, when we say in our slichas, Misha ana la Avraham Avinu bahara Moria, the one who answered Avraham Avinu and Hara Moria, what are we saying? I never thought about it before. We don't find that Avraham asked God not to do this. So what does it mean God answered Avraham? And the Shlor writes brings down from Midrashim that take a different, that broaden the perspective rather, that Avraham did ask Hashem to spare Yitzchak at that time. Was still perfectly willing to go through with it and would have done it, but made the bakasha to spare his life. So there's a lot of, there's a diverse understanding of what occurred, and we have to understand each thing in its way, how it's all true, if it's all from Midrashim. But based on that, you know, Bob, there was a dialogue.
Is there a dimension in this story that's sort of analogous to the Mabul, that God says, God promises after the Mabul that he won't destroy mankind again, but then we see that the mission of mankind goes through Abraham and his seed. So, is part of Abraham's, in a sense, conflict, the idea that here God is going to be removing the hope of humanity from humanity, and consequently, how could the world continue to exist? There wouldn't be any schus, any merit. Mm-hmm. that was kind of an indirect way of destroying the world.
Right. And that seems to be part of that struggle that he identifies mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
You're offering up the Jewish people, therefore where is Klal Yisrael?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it seems to be like yeah. that. Of course, the difference are the Babel was an Onesh, or was a Korban.
Right.
There's the process was
right.
different, but you seem to be struggling with that same concept, what will be of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a look at the next one, Hamachelis. So it says Abraham took the knife, and in this case, the knife is an unusual word the Torah uses, Hamachelis. It means that it consumes something, because the knife takes the life of the one, you know, who chef it. The word ochel is to eat. It doesn't say sakin.
More like a chainsaw than a switchblade.
You know, it gives you the idea that it's there to, you know, to do that. Hamachelis Dorshu Chazal, what is one of the insights from the Chachamim about it, the word Ma'acheles? Shebnei Yisrael ochlin matan tzchora, that the Jewish people are always eating from the reward of the Akedah, of this action. So that's Ma'acheles. That goes back to what you asked, Bob, about saying it daily.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about it that we benefit from spiritually every single day. We are eating, we are absorbing the reward, the consequence of the Akedah all the time. So that's Ma'acheles. He took the knife and we're Zocha because of that. Uksuvit and the Kasuvan is written by Yikach, that Abraham took it. Why? What is the significance of that word? Sha'Avram Avinu Yodazeh, Abraham knew. Sha'kol Ma'asav Heim Eitzos Avur Klal Yisrael, that every single thing he did would be counsel, advice, and wisdom for the rest of history. And that's as the Ramban brings down in Bereishis and so many other Mefarshim, Masa Avos Siman Labanim. What Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov and Sarif Karachavaleya did was a siman, it was a sign for that which their children would do for the rest of history. They were acting for themselves and they were acting for their descendants really till the end of time. So Avram had an awareness of that. Shehu Av Lekulam, because Avraham is the father of all. He wasn't just Yitzchak's father, he was our father too. V'chein sorach kol adam lehisponei. Says, likewise, each person must contemplate and reflect on this reality, ki ma'asav nogin ledore doros, that our behavior produces consequences that could last for many, many generations. You know, you certainly see this in the modern sense in psychology, you know, about certain patterns of behavior in families, both positive and negative, could be perpetuated for a number of generations. And he's saying now in Ruchnius as well, spiritually speaking, we can do something that will benefit our children, our children's children, etc., etc. We have that ability. Says, through this, we are able to benefit, again, to eat, to benefit from that reward. Now, I think he's reversing it now. That in addition to the fact that what the Avos did benefits us, he says what the children, what the descendants do, goes back and benefits the ancestors as well. It goes both directions. Kibavadai koach ha'avos haya al yedei shakol shorosh b'nei Yisrael hayu b'sochem, because the power of the avos, of our forefathers, was that all the potential Jewish people were within them. So it was both the individual and the collective who Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak were. They were themselves, and they were the future Klal Yisrael who were about to emerge over the course of history. V'hakol b'mishpat emes kanal. And all of this occurs then through divine justice and truth. So the fact that we are benefiting from the deeds of our avos, he says, part of the reason the avos had the ability to do what they did is because we were in them. We were in there, potentially. And their deeds, you know, projected this forward to us. And what we would become in the future, the people who we would become eventually, right now, us, the people who we become actually brings a certain koach to Avram Avinu back in his time. It's a great concept.
What's that, John? The idea of the light of Hanukkah projecting forward and back.
Sure. And also, we've seen a similar concept, not quite in these terms of fathers to children, but the Bas Emes has learned before that the light of Matan Torah went in all directions in history. And even though it occurred later in time, after Avram Avinu, but this future event, its light reflected backward, all the way back to Avram Avinu.
It's sort of like you work for something, you know, put on an event or something. Mm-hmm. And when it finally happens, then all the things, the struggle you went through, you appreciate.
The reward comes back to you.
The reward comes back.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And I think what's nice here, the point he brings out too additionally, is that the people who we ultimately become extends benefit back to. Mm-hmm. So we're having in mind, we have to do things because it will affect us, it will affect our children. It's going that direction. And the strength of Abraham and those great people, the millions of Jews that came out of them, who became good Jewish people, that power was in Avram Avinu too. What we become helps him, or helped him at that time.
Well, this relates back to the maamar we just did.
Yes.
With the Nah, because if the whole Jewish people is going to be blood flowed on the Mizbeach and that's it, mm-hmm. none of that could ever happen.
Right. That's right.
This also adds a new twist on the Chazal that says Matai Maasai Yigia
Lamaasai Avosai.
When will my actions reach to the level of
our forefathers?
So it's a way of thinking about when will my actions reflect back and give something back to my forefathers.
Very nice. Okay, we got time for another one. We have 5 minutes.
I heard a story recently about my grandfather and giving tzedakah, and it didn't surprise me at all because that's one of the traditions in the family, giving tzedakah. Mm-hmm. It just was like, that's very the same.
Passes down.
Yeah, it passes back and forth. You know, mm-hmm. I still wonder when I'm going to reach his level of giving, but here's the shim.
Well, you have to correlate it to inflation.
There's a mimer on the next page, 64 also. Looks like we're hanging out in the right column today, guys. Right column, second paragraph.
Well, we have to give Yitzchak his due.
That's right. Yes, I do. The question is raised, why did Abraham ask advice from under Eshkol and Mamre about the Bris Mila. Right? So it says that he was in Elone Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. Right? Why was Mamre mentioned here at all? Because Avram consulted with Mamre in respect to the Bris Mila. Now this question is a famous one. Why did Avram need to consult with Mamre? What was he really doing? Was he really asking him, should I do this? Of course not. God told him to do it. He wasn't going to ask Mamre. So that question is raised. Now he has an insight into it. Masha shal Avram Avinu lev shalom mehem etza. Why did Avram ask their counsel in the matter? Nira, it appears to me, shahaya rak letova sam, that it was for their benefit. He wanted to share the benefit with them. Shal yidei ha etza sheyidnu, that by their participation in counsel and being in favor of this, Yihi Elohem Kitsas Zechus, they would gain a little bit of merit, the mitzvah Hamila in the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So Avram, being the person who he was, always thinking about other people, bringing people close, loving people, he wanted to give something from that mitzvah of Bris Mila, from that precious mitzvah, so he was inclusive of these men in talking about it so they could gain a Zechus from it. They could gain merit by being involved. Shuv Ra'isi Shakenu B'divrei Moriza Kenizal, he says, I have since found the same idea written in my grandfather's writings in the Chidush HaRim.
What if the Mamre people said
no? Said no, right, so there was a risk, right? There was a risk.
There were three people that
That's right, only Mamre gave the advice, right? And under an Eshkol were against. Was that correct?
Yeah.
Anur said to do it secretly, in private, so that the kings wouldn't attack him when he was vulnerable from the circumcision.
Uh-huh.
Eshkol said not to do it at all, you're old, and it would be fatal.
Right.
And Mamre, of course, told him to God, who saved you miraculously from Orcustim, mm-hmm. and you know, he said, go ahead and do it. Don't worry about it. God is your shield. That's why he revealed himself on Mamre's
property.
And
Mamre's plane, right. Planes, right.
Planes.
It's nice, Bob, because you're saying, it seems to me, based on your question, you know, that Avraham Avinu was willing to take some risk. And, you know, how can you benefit another person without any risk? You're just going to give it away. There's no sense of give and take. So he knew that there was going to be the possibility, and indeed, as it turned out, that some would reject it. But he was still willing to say, well, somebody here is going to get a chelik of this mitzvah. Yeah.
Who are Mamre's descendants?
I don't know. I don't know who those descendants were. Yeah.
He was an MRI, so...
Is there any lineage somewhere?
I don't know. Hilly had asked last week about Nimrod, where he came from, and he did come from Chum. We saw the lineage last week. Nimrod came from Chum. Noah's three sons.
Good afternoon.
Have a good day, everybody. Yashukala.